Hello.
Hello.
I apologize. I'm not going to try that again. I've been in the office for all of 3 days, and obviously I don't know how to operate even my own phone, so I've got a lot to learn.
Well, it happens to all of us. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
It's my understanding that you're coming back from Okinawa. Is that right?
Yes, I was in Okinawa for a little less than a year.
Okay. Tell me, the information that I've got is that obviously your hometown is Ardmore, so did you go to school here?
I did. I went to Plainview.
Okay.
I was in Plainview from first grade through 12th grade.
Okay. And you graduated when?
I graduated in 1991.
Okay. And what happened then? Where'd you go to school?
From Plainview, I went to the Naval Academy, the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis.
Okay.
And 4 years there, graduated in 1995, and then became a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps.
Where all of you been since?
My career started in Hawaii. I was with...
good duty.
Yes, that is, it's, you know, hard, tough duty, but, you know, somebody's got to do it, so...
Yeah.
So that was a lucky assignment. I was with the 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, which is an infantry battalion. I served 3 years with them, and typically back then we did what was called unit deployment program, so about every year we would deploy to Okinawa. And we were kind of in a forward deployed status from there, and from Okinawa we would do exercises around the Pacific Rim. So that was 3 years, and then from there I went to the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and I got a master's degree in operations research. And then from there, so that was through the Marine Corps paid for that education. So I did what was called a payback tour after that with the Marine Corps Test and Evaluation Activity. So basically what we did there was any new equipment that was about to get fielded, we would test it. And basically approve whether or not it was ready to be fielded to Marines. That was a very interesting assignment because we would take new gear and we'd get to go out to the field and interact with Marines, have them, you know, use the system and give us feedback. But I got to see a lot of different equipment before it was fielded during that. And then from there, I went to Camp Pendleton. I was a part of the 1st Marine Logistics Group. And I deployed to Iraq twice with the 1st Marine Logistics Group. I was a company commander. My first deployment with a General Support Motor Transport Company, and then I was a regimental operations officer for my second deployment. After that, I went to the Marine Corps Command and Staff College, which is typically as a major in the Marine Corps. Command and Staff is basically just kind of teaching us how to be future commanders.
Right.
Kind of professional military education is what it's called, but. But basically, a year of military studies, preparing us to be, you know, future commanders, and just continue to be leaders, you know, as we continue up the ranks. Anyway, so it was a year there in Quantico, Virginia, and then from there, I worked at Headquarters Marine Corps at the Pentagon for 3 years. I worked in the Installations and Logistics Department of Headquarters Marine Corps. From there, then I was assigned to Okinawa, Japan, for a year with the 3rd Marine Division. And then I was, while I was there, I was selected for command of 2nd Supply Battalion. And so a year later, I'm now in Camp Lejeune. Just took command last Thursday, the 21st.
Great. So what goals do you have for the command that you have now? Anything specific?
Well, we provide general support to the entire 2MEF. So that is an organization of almost 60,000 Marines, and we support that entire organization. So certainly we want to be as good at our mission, our primary mission, as we can be. That's from a unit perspective. That's what I'm focused on. This is a dynamic time in the Marine Corps right now. We're beginning to reduce our footprint in Afghanistan.
Right.
But from a logistics perspective, this is a logistics organization. So from a logistics perspective, I would say the job is just really getting started, because now we are redeploying a significant amount of the Marine Corps' equipment from Afghanistan. Some of the equipment in Afghanistan has literally been in continuous combat since Iraq. A lot of what we are using in Afghanistan was moved directly over from Iraq.
Right.
So it has been used very hard and again, in combat conditions. So the Commandant of the Marine Corps talks very frequently about, his priority is to get that equipment back and make sure that we have we're able to repair it and get it back into service so that we're ready for whatever's next. This battalion has a huge piece of that mission. So as this equipment comes back, we are really supporting the maintenance effort on a lot of this equipment as it comes back in, gets repaired, and then gets reintegrated into the inventories back here in the home station. So certainly that's going to be a focus of effort of mine, is making sure that we're doing everything we can to support that effort. And then certainly, this is an organization of Marines. We also have a medical logistics company. So we're a little unique here. We have a whole company of Navy as part of this organization. So, at the end of the day, the Marines and sailors join the Marine Corps and join the Navy to be part of a larger organization. So I one of my biggest goals is to continually reinforce the core values of being a Marine, and make sure that whether these Marines stay in the Marine Corps. We're a very young force. We turn over a lot of young Marines and sailors.
Right.
Every three to four years, and I think my biggest responsibility is making sure that we make leaders out of these individuals. Whether they stay Marine, stay Navy, or they get out and go back into society, this is a unique organization where a young person of 19 to 21 years old can be put in a leadership position. Sometimes in combat, but certainly always in charge of other Marines and responsible for their well-being, not just what happens during the day. And that's what's different about, the Marine Corps, and certainly the military services. They're responsible for every aspect of their life.
Right,
So that's an awesome responsibility. So, just making leaders out of these young men and women, I think above and beyond all that other stuff, that's really my focus of effort, because, whether they're part of this organization or any other organization, we're all Marines. And so it's my responsibility to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to make the Marines the best they can be. And if they're going to get out, make them better citizens when they do finally get out of the Marine Corps.
Did you always want a military career?
That's not necessarily. My father was drafted in the Army in between the Vietnam and Korea wars. He said he didn't spend a whole lot of time in the Army. I'm not from a family that has a large military background, so when I was growing up, I didn't think a whole lot about that, quite frankly. But when I was getting ready to graduate, because I had done relatively well as a in track and cross country, I was recruited by some smaller schools, normal schools, but the academies had contacted me and to see if I was interested in going to school there, and I had never really given it a second thought, but I'll never forget when I saw the Naval Academy the first time, with the big gray buildings and right there on the water, and I was just in awe. So I think as a young kid, I was just bowled over by the pomp and circumstance and the formality and everything about the Naval Academy and what it represented, and so it was just exciting for me at the time, and I went to the Naval Academy not really knowing what I was going to do in the next 4 years, and a lot of my classmates, it was funny, they, from the moment they got there, they knew, I want to go submarines, or I want to go a pilot, or I want to go Marine Corps. The Naval Academy, you can go into the Navy and the Marine Corps, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I didn't really know. So the good thing about the Naval Academy is you never really got summer vacations. What you got was when you weren't in school, you went in summer training. So what they would do is they would send us to a month to the Navy, to Pensacola to figure out the we got to fly and the trainers and everything. They sent us out on surface warfare ships. They sent us down in submarines. And, of course, they sent us to Quantico to kind of get an indoctrination in the Marine Corps. So I think, early on when I saw Marines, I was always impressed by Marines, how they carried themselves, their bearing, their pride in themselves and in just being a Marine. And that just always kind of stuck with me. So as I got ready to graduate, I decided that I wanted to go Marine Corps, and that was obviously the best decision. I've certainly never looked back a day in my life. I'm lucky that I was given the opportunity to do all that, but going Marine was never something I looked back from. I'm very very confident in my selection there, obviously.
My son-in-law is career Air Force, so I know a little bit about militaries and military families.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I also got offered an ROTC scholarship, Air Force ROTC scholarship to the University of Oklahoma. And that's Oklahoma was where I was always going to go. I my brother went to University of Oklahoma. Obviously, I'm a huge Sooners fan, so that's where I was really going to go. But like I said, seeing the Naval Academy experience kind of changed my mind in terms of where I wanted to go. But I certainly could have wound up in the Air Force had I gone that route. And you know what? I might have enjoyed that just as much.
Your parents still live here in Ardmore?
They do.
And what are their names?
My father's Clyde Kemp, C-L-Y-D-E.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm surprised.
I talk to your dad just about every week because I put the religion sections together, and he brings me the stuff in from Trinity, of course. So.
It's funny. The public affairs officer here at the MLG came and told me, hey, the Ardmoreite wants to do an interview. And the first thing I thought was, oh, my goodness, my father, called somebody there directly and set this thing up. That's literally how I thought this whole thing started. But he told me that you guys got this through the hometown news release.
But
that's my father, Clyde, and then my mother is Jean. They were actually both out here for the change of command ceremony. So they flew out for the change of command ceremony. And, we had a tough transition because I was in Okinawa by myself. My wife and family stayed in Virginia. So we lived in Virginia when I worked at the Pentagon. And then because we assumed the Okinawa deployment or assignment would be relatively short term, And we had a house there. We had to prepare a house for renters and everything. We weren't really ready at the time. But anyway, long story short, we made the decision that I would go there unaccompanied. So our transition back, what, you know, me coming back from Okinawa, meeting up with the family in Virginia, and then us transitioning down here to Camp Lejeune, kind of puts things in turmoil, you know. We're still in a waiting status for base housing and some other things like that. So anyway, the point in all that was my parents came out for the change of command, and then we sent my son and my daughter back with them, and they're in Oklahoma for a month, which is great because it allows us to kind of get our feet settled here, find housing and everything.
Right.
But it also, you know, it gives my kids a chance to spend some time with their grandparents. You know, that's the problem with the Marine Corps, unfortunately. We don't have a whole lot of presence in Oklahoma or anywhere in that area, for that matter. I mean, the Marine Corps' presence is largely at Camp Lejeune, Camp Pendleton, and Okinawa, Hawaii, all of which are a long way away from Oklahoma. So
that's true.
My parents haven't had, you know, that experience that a lot of my other family has. I mean, most of my family is still lives in Ardmore. And so, you know, kids spending time with their grandparents, that's just kind of part of daily life in most of my family. And unfortunately, my parents haven't been able to, you know, enjoy that as much.
Right.
So it was great that the kids got to go back with them. And
bless their hearts, it's hot here right now.
Yeah.
Really hot.
Although I got to tell you, it's just as hot. Probably a different kind of hot, but you know, Camp Lejeune in coastal Carolina is very hot and very humid.
Yeah.
So.
Your wife's name?
Her name is Ann.
A-N-N-E.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, which way?
With an E.
Okay. And do you mind giving me your children's names?
No. My son is Jack. He's 10. And my daughter is Bridget, B-R-I-D-G-E-T. And she is 7.
Okay. Anything that you would like people here in Ardmore and the surrounding area to know about you?
Well, I'll say
know
this,
about that, military life, something like that.
I, no matter where I go, I am always immensely proud to call myself an Oklahoman. The military is a diverse background. We come from all over, so there's always a healthy competition in terms of, you know, where people come from. But I have, you know, like I said, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I will always consider myself an Oklahoman. And so I have a lot of pride in where I come from. And certainly I loved living in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and there were a lot of great people that, you know, my parents were great role models, obviously, and I, you know, I am where I am today because of the solid foundation that they gave me. There's certainly a lot of other people that helped me get where I am. And, you know, like I said, I wouldn't have even known about military life had I not been, had it not been for my track and cross-country career. And, you know, Coach Jerry Naylor, who's still, he's in the paper all the time there.
He is.
My dad sends me clippings all the time. But I got my start with Jerry Naylor. He wasn't even a coach at Plainview yet. He kind of came on a little bit after that. But I was one of his first sort of kids that he would run us around Mile and what's that other street over there? Anyway, we would run around that area in the is that the southwest part of Oklahoma or Ardmore?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where we would run all the time, and he really got me where I, you know, to be a great runner. And so in a lot of sense, I kind of owe a lot to him because, you know, more so accidentally, I got, you know, introduced to the Naval Academy. I think I am where I am today because of all that. So anytime I get a chance to go back, I always like to catch up with Coach Naylor and see how he's doing. But, you know, it's no surprise to me. He is immensely successful and continues to be.
He really is.
Plainview on the map, you know.
He does. He does a great job. really great. Okay, I won't take up any more of your time. I really appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
No, it's my pleasure. I really appreciate you calling and doing this. I think it's great. You know, I really like to stay connected with what's going on in Ardmore and some of my old friends there, but I don't get back there enough. I really enjoy being in Ardmore. So not only being in Oklahoma, I really enjoy being an Ardmoreite, you know. So I miss the town every once in a while, and when I can get back, I really enjoy it.
Good. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.